I just wanted to share with you a story that I, thank you very much, that was quick. We often forget how bad the situation was of the Yidden during World War I and the subsequent years. We always tend to focus much more on the years leading towards the Second War, and the tragedies and the unparalleled difficulties they even encountered during those years, whether it was in Germany or Poland or Hungary or beyond. And we often forget that it was very, very difficult, very, very, very difficult, also nearly unparalleled difficulties during World War I. So there's a story that it's like in the shadow of always, when we think about the Second War, everything is like in the shadow. So it was during the years of the First World War, there was the financial difficulties in some area. Yidden had lost panosses in a bad way from one day to the next. They had literally no income anymore. And the panosses was very, very difficult for not thousands, but tens of thousands. They literally had nowhere to even finance their families anymore because of the war. The borders was moving, but near the borders in many areas of Poland, Ukraine, and even some parts of Eastern Austria was also very, very, very difficult. And what happened was that there was at one point there was a I don't know if it was during the war or just after the war, there was a convention of all the important and prominent rabbonim. They met together to just discuss some of the important things, and one of the foremost points in the agenda was the financial difficulties that Yidden were at, and how can we help? And this, I suppose this, the self-understood kind of resolution that they decided to make was to do some fundraising of Yidden who still had a bit more money, and try to fundraise to help the Yidden. So they said that there was even Yidden that couldn't afford. One of the points on the agenda was that it was Yidden that couldn't afford buying tefillin. And that's what triggered my memory, that there was they didn't have enough money to buy tefillin for their children, for their bar mitzvah boys. There was no money they literally had no money. Tefillin are expensive, they always were expensive, and there was no money to buy tefillin for the boys. So they wanted to fundraise and prioritize that. We all know the importance of putting on tefillin, and if you didn't can't put on tefillin, that's a disaster in its own right. So they wanted to fundraise money for tefillin. Chaim Soloveitchik, Chaim Briske, who attended that meeting, he said he got up and he said, "But he got the wrong end of the stick. She got the wrong end of the stick." He said, "Absolutely no, but shom ponim ve'ofer not." He said, "You're not allowed to do any fundraising for tefillin." He said, "Tefillin, we learned just recently, halacha is with tefillin that if a person doesn't have tefillin, he can borrow somebody else's tefillin. There's no problem with that. There's no problem. Shaul, if you do it with permission, it's no problem. You can borrow somebody else's tefillin. It's mutar lechatchila." He says, however, people don't have money to buy food, to buy fish, to buy meat, to buy vegetables, to buy anything. That's a much worse tragedy. He says, therefore, b'shum ponim v'oifen, he doesn't support, he doesn't encourage, and he doesn't help this keren, this fundraising activities to buy tefillin. He refuses, he doesn't cooperate, he's not part of that. But if people want to help fundraising for food, he's going to be the first one to sign and help and support that. So it was very, very interesting. So that the agenda, the perspective of a Gadol B'Yisrael, I think is always always very interesting. Okay, Rabbi, we're going to be learning some interesting halachas this week, Be'ezer Hashem. The halachas tonight, this week, I want to finish off the siman which we didn't complete. Sif Yud Aleph Simen Chav Zayin. We're going to be learning Simen Chav Ches this week, Mitzchem, which is the halachas of how to take tefillin off. It's quite a bit of halachas on that, leading on to the time of putting on tefillin. So the zman of anachas tefillin, night, day, as well as Shabbos and weekdays. Chol HaMoed is in Simen Lamed Aleph. I hope to discuss this week as well, and that will lead to Simen Lamed Beit, which is Ksivas Tefillin, which is what's actually inserted in the tefillin. Okay, so I want to look at Sif Yud Aleph in Simen Chav Zayin. Halach is as follows. So Sif Yud Aleph tells us that the Shocher Shebretzus, meaning the black of the Ratzuas, should be facing out. Veloyis Hapchun, they mustn't turn around. So thank you very much for bringing this. This is really good. This is really helpful now. Very good. So whether I'm taking the Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh, this is the most modern Ratzuas. Top stuff. This is the supreme, the superior, they look very new as well. or you're just looking after them. Okay, so really, this is not a good example because it's such good feeling that it doesn't help for this particular. But what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, that the we're going to call it the shiny side, which in most often is just the black side, as opposed to the inner side, which is often not black. This is a very mahodadiga. It's a modern chumra. That it's a very, very nice hiddah to have both sides black. What the Shulchan Aruch is referring to is that tzorich shia shocha shebretzuas letzad chutz. There's a halacha which we see now that the tzuas has to be black and that has to be facing out, has to be external. If they mishapech, if they are turning over, Shulchan Aruch says. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Lamed Ches, if they did turn around, midas chasidus, it is a proper minhag who lays anois. Once you fast, fasting is advised if it turns around. Now in this tefillin, the halacha won't be like that because both sides are black, so it's not called ishapchu. But the alternative version is, only if there's tzedakah, if a person finds it difficult to fast, then at least he should give tzedakah. Now, to be more precise, when we are talking about this important halacha, that you're not allowed to be misapach, not to turn around, not to have them, is it upside, is it, no, it's inside out, that's only, as it says, mashemakev zarosh, it's the area which is literally surrounding the head. That's the key area that mustn't be inside out. And also the kiboyres, the area over here, which we're tightening literally the tefillin. But the areas that you're wrapping later the arm, and similarly also the area that is the extended area from here down, that ain't so glad with klal. You don't have to worry so much about that. Shalais hapeich levisha enu mikra mitzvah. That's not the main aspect of the mitzvah. That's not the key area. That's the lechatchila digger, the hiddur area. It's not the main, essential, principal aspect of the mitzvah. And therefore, if it does turn around, it's not the end of the world. Mikol mokim, nevertheless, mishum noy mitzvah. It's still good, nice in the hiddur. Roy lehapeich sheashocha letzad chutz afilu ba'amutza ba'moisa. That even with the extended area, it's still nice, right, good and proper, that the black should be facing out, but it's not the key, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't.
Says the Shulchan Aruch,
now the Shulchan Aruch is going to address, how long do the tefillin actually need to be? So, in terms of tefillin shel Rosh, how long do the tefillin need to be? How long do the tefillin need to be? Ritzuas. How long do you need to be? Shalosh. Yeah. How long do you need to be? How long do you need to be? Waist. So Shulchan Aruch says, Yeshal Shalah Ritzuas, she would stream in front of you at a tabu, which is, tabu is the belly button, yeah. It goes all the way till there. That's the minimum. Oil Ma'alam Minat, or a little bit before that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch's shear is. It should be at least, that's the shear that the Shulchan Aruch says. No, we'll get to that in a minute. Good. Sivkotten Mem says, Adatabu, that's the minimum shear. Vim Hoysif, Alze, if you're having them longer, less longer, it doesn't matter. It's okay to have them longer. I want to add here something. We're going to address more about the minimum length in a minute. But just in terms of the maximum length, what the Mishnah Berurah says of the Sifkot Mem is that if it's long, it's okay. I remember, it's one of those things that I just remember, but it must be, maybe it was in Yeshiva, probably in Yeshiva, and I had my Ritzuas were quite long. And based on this Mishnah Berurah, I mean, I wasn't probably aware of this Mishnah Berurah, but based on this Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't matter if they're long. It doesn't matter, you know, the Ritzuas are long, and but the Maaseh, somebody came up to me and pointed out to me that, you know, it's not good to have such a long Ritzuas. Why not? Floor. That's it. Just like you're not allowed to drag a sefer on the floor, just like you're not allowed to schlep the tzitzis on the floor, it's mefurash halacha. Kal v'chomer ben benoy shel kal v'chomer, you certainly can't drag Ritzuas on the floor. So now, if they're exceptionally long, inevitably they're going to be on the floor when you sit down. So, inevitably so. So therefore, somebody pointed out to me, it's true that Me'ikir Halacha, you know, you can have them as long as you want, but the reality is that it's not a good idea, because in practical terms, they're going to be schlepping on the floor, and it's not right. And therefore, I cut them. I take a cut them, and which is fine, you can cut them. Question is, yeah, it's probably okay to cut them, and question is what you do with the leftover of the tzuah. No, don't think so. No, it's not brought down. Right, so that's in terms of the...
Why kalvachemer? Is that a good way?
What? Why is that kalvachemer?
Attack the rituals into...
I'm not sure. What's that?
I tuck it into my belt or into the...
Yeah, that's a good idea. To tuck him into the belt is also a good idea. Yeah, tucking the belt is also a good idea. Yeah.
Every time you stand up,
you release them. Yeah. It's about being conscious about it, aware of it. Yeah.
If the length is not for the person's belly button, could it be off of the tongue?
Can it be what? Yeah, absolutely, we're going to get to that now. So this was in terms of the maximum shear. We said the maximum shear is, again, the more the better, it's okay. So we said, so far we said the minimum shear is until that, but we're going to see that it's not that, that there is cholkim on that. So the Mishnah says in Yifkot Memalev, as for oile ma'alev menu, ayim b'chidush Rebbe Kivega, in Yifkot Memalev, Mishnah brings Rebbe Kivega, v'chein b'atzachayim the Malvim as well, the maske shall yemin ala ta'ad ha'tabu, he said, yeah, the right side of the ritzua should be until the tabu, until the belly button, which shall smoil ad achoze, but the left one should be a bit shorter. But the meaning is what it brings now, I believe. Over two cups of oil, v'yesh oim nishal yemin ad hamila. I think that could be that's a lot of people are makbid on that. Some say that the right hand side should be until the mokam hamila, which shall smoil ad the tabu, and the left one until the tabu. So that seems, I think that's generally the minute that we tend to have them quite long. The right hand side, the right goes until the Mokam Amila, and the left one goes until the Tabu. So there's also, so we're learning two halachas here. One, we're learning that the shear is probably a bit longer than what the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is. And furthermore, we're learning as well is that there's a distinct difference between the right side and the left side. For some unknown reason, I mean unknown to me, the right one should be a little bit longer than the left one. It's not coincidence. It's not that the one who did the tefillin, he wasn't being careful. No. There is reasons why the right side should be a bit longer than the left side. Okay, so that's in terms of the
right side, meaning
when you, yeah,
on my right,
the one wearing it, yeah. Right. Now comes another very, yeah.
It's just chesed,
you know, the chesed being govern din. Makes sense, perhaps, yeah? I didn't see this, but it makes sense. Yeah. Reuche v'aretzuas shel yad v'shel rosh. Okay. Now, in terms of the reuche v'aretzuas, the width of the retzuas. Retzuas. Shel yad v'shel rosh, this is both with regards to the tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. Ka'orich se'oira lefochos, it has to be at least the share of a se'oira, meaning the width of a barley in a shell. Now, how much is that, approximately, without the thing sticking up? How much is that? It's not very much. It's not very much. Lemaisa, the poets can say, I think the share vary between 10 millimeter, 12 millimeter, perhaps 15 millimeter. So doing 1.5 centimeters approximately. I think the tools that we have are easy that shear. But it is important to note that. Why is it important to note? Because it is very important to note that and to be aware of it and to be conscious of that and to remember that. It's very important because there are various parts of our tefillin which tend to get quite worn out, for good reason, Baruch Hashem. What happens then is that the black dye tends to fade off and disappear. Now, when we say that and also that area of the tefillin, sometimes where the loop goes round, or the areas that are very intensely used, that actual, the leather, the tzuah itself, gets thinner. As well as the dye comes off. There, you really got to make sure that you got the full shear of what it was. I remember seeing in my own tefillin that after wearing them and not keeping an eye on it, sometimes you have on this spot over here where it tends to be, where the loop goes around, or sometimes where you go around the fingers, it's more relevant to tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, but you'll see that it gets narrower and narrower and thinner, and you've got to make sure that you got still that shear of the minimum shear of the width of the tefillin is still kept. What if you it was less and you extended it? In other words, you got to make sure to have that shear. And if you do alternative, if you have no alternative, then use what you've got. But it is preferable to have one with that shear. With a bracha. One second, I'm not sure about the bracha actually. I'm not sure about the bracha actually. I don't know about the bracha. It looks like Mishnah says b'loy bracha. It sounds like. What the Shulchan Aruch doesn't address over here, because he addressed it earlier, is what is the minimum shear of the length of the tefillin shel yad. So we spoke about the length of the Ratzua. Of the tefillin shel rosh, we spoke about that. But what about the length of the ratzua of the tefillin shel yad? We haven't. Why does the shulchan aruch mentioned over here? Why not? Because we spoke about it earlier. What is the shear of the ratzua of the tefillin shel yad? Sign kichas. It needs to be 7 times round and then 3 times round the finger. That's the shear. Lechatchila. So that's why it's not mentioned over here. Yeah. Now Shulchan Aruch adds the following halacha: Tefillin shel Rosh, the Tefillin shel Rosh, tov liyos liyosim gluim v'nirim. The Tefillin shel Rosh must be revealed, gluim, open, revealed, v'nirim, and seen. To be visually seen. The Tefillin shel Rosh should be seen. What we're saying, they should be seen. However, Talmud in front of his rabbi should try to hide the tefillin. It's more respectful to have the tefillin a little bit hidden in front of a rabbi. Now, with regards to tefillin shel yad, that can be either covered or uncovered. Venirali, it seems to me that now to be only wearing the tefillin for a limited amount of time, short amount of time, just for kiyashma and tefillin, as opposed to wearing tefillin the whole day, which used to be the fact for many centuries. We only wear it nowadays only for kiyashma and tefillin. You don't have to worry so much about having it revealed in front of a rebbe. It can be revealed. And the minhag is generally not to be careful. But Rabbi Yisrael, we have a distinction over here between what the Shulchan Aruch and the Rebbe agree on is that there's a distinction between the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. The Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, Toiv liyoisam gluim venirin. Tefillin Shel Rosh should be revealed. Mishnah Berurah Sipkot Memhei says, Techsiv v'rou kolam ha'aretz. I think I mentioned this on Thursday. Pasuk says, "V'roh kol am eretz," referring to tefillin. The am eretz, the nations, everybody will see your tefillin, your glory of tefillin. V'toiv shegam hakesher megule. Furthermore, the kesher in your skull, in your back, should also be revealed. Aval einu agin kein. But Rama says the meaning is not to have it so revealed. With the eved afim yichusim legam b'yotze, but certainly yotze either way. But this is why there is a widespread minhag. Many people will make sure not to cover their tefillin shel rosh. Is a good reason for it. Mishnah says the minhag is, it's questionable as to whether it's a minhag or not, but some people would be quite conscious of that, to have the tefillin, when they put the talus on top of their head, they will ensure, they will make sure that the tefillin is, a bit, is revealed and is open. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how they practically did that.
Massive, but yeah.
I don't know. And Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Membov and Derech Erech, Tefillin and Derech covered. The tefillin is covered is respect. And if you've got a crown in front of your head, that's disrespectful. So you should cover it up with either a talis or with a hat. But again, the Rama says nowadays we're not makbid on that. Now, in terms of tefillin shel yad, the Mishnah says if got memzain and akbim the kolmokum lechatchile tov yoisel chsoisom. The tefillin shel yad one should cover. The tefillin shel rosh one should ideally not cover. So that is the that's the difference. So one should really, if possible, cover the tefillin shel yad. Again, it's a lechatchile. It's not like me'akev the mitzvah in any way, but yeved anything. But if it's possible, one should try to put the jacket or the shirt should be covering the tefillin in line with this amount that it's a that one should be one should even lechem, yes, but the tefillin shall rosh should be revealed if possible at all. Yeah, the Mishnah says ideally if possible one should, yeah, for the kasha tov gam kasha yemegula. It probably means that the that if you have the talus down, you probably make him that. Yeah, yeah, it's true. The Mishnah did say one should be one if possible, one should be makbid where the talus. Though it's true, and in one of the early simonim, the Mishnah did say, you're right, that one should wear talus from beginning to end, covering one's head. Yeah, I don't know the answer to your good question. All I can say is that I know for a fact that the minhag was not like the Mishnah Berurah. For centuries, people did not wear the talus over their heads. People wore hats. I don't know why. But I'm the fact, the metzias, the minhag was, perhaps because of that, that it was not the norm that everybody should just put the talus over the head, and people would wear kasketlach or hats or whatever, and thereby taka more easy to fulfill this halacha. On the one hand, to have the kasha magula. Yeah, I agree. But I'm just pointing out that. But your kasha is a good kasha. Mishabur, on one hand, he recommends to have the talus on the whole davening from beginning to end. On the other hand, Mishabur also tells us that it's nice to have even the knot uncovered at some points. How does Mishabur fulfill, reconcile both chumras? Very nice question. I do not know the answer. Very nice. Maybe there's a market for see-through talus. See-through talus, yeah, it could be, yeah. Yeah. But he still likes it. You're right. He says, I know I can get, but he still likes it. So how did the Chofetz Chaim himself do it? Right? How did he himself do it, for instance? Yeah? If we want to be makbid on both sides. Okay, I've always had to summarize. We learned the quite a lot of important halachas. We learned the Ritzua should be always facing, the Ritzua should be facing out. The black should be facing out. And if the arm is hapach, one should either fast or at least give tzedakah. We said this is only in the crucial areas of the Ritzuas, i.e., the area that is on the tefillin shel rosh between the batim and the knot, and the tefillin shel yad is the area literally where before the first tightening. That's the area one should be extremely makbid not to be mishapach. If it is mishapach, one should fast. It's a good question. It's a very good question. It's not so clear. I saw the poskim bringing, the contemporary poskim asking this question, and they say that if it's an immediate change, if you chap straight away, then there is no then mischazidus won't apply. But it could very well be that if it's more than that, then one should. It looks like the mischazidus of fasting is even. Yeah, if it's like whilst they're putting on tefillin, it appears that's okay. It seems like as you're putting them on, as you're still in the maisa of putting on tefillin, there's no mitzvah chasidus. But anything after that and beyond that, it appears that there is mitzvah chasidus to fast already or give tzedakah.
Only
four
if you have a
light on outside. Yes, lichoira. Fair point. So, instance in these beautiful tefillin over here, which I've got, is mistamina called mishapach. Lichoira, yeah. Now we also learned that. That the length of the ritzuas of the tefillin shel rosh, and we learned that Rabbi Kibbeger says, and I believe that's the minhag, right should be longer than left, and left one should be until the tabu, right until mokum amila. We spoke about the width of the tefillin, which is really something one has to keep an eye on. It's at least ka'orich sa'ora, which we said according to the poskim is 1, 1.2, or 1.5 centimeters. In terms of the In terms of the having tefillin revealed, tefillin shel rosh, Shulchan Aruch says it should be revealed, v'ro kol ame oretz, and tefillin shel yad should be covered, because of lechol le'ois, for the lecherim le'ois, in terms of having it in front of a Rebbe, we learned, it's not the eretz to have a glory, a crown in front of a Rebbe. However, the Ramah says that one can't be makbe nowadays with this, because we've got such limited time to wearing the tefillin. Okay.